I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It seems as if humans have, always been on the brink of self-inflicted extinction, a result of our own violent impulses that live somewhere deep within. We have continually found ways to wage war against one another. We've looked for the most creative ways to kill the people we hate. We found ways to rationalize this brutality in the name of God, in the name of the state, in the name of greed. We have found ways to kill each other, and we're still doing it today, still finding ways to make more and more war upon the face of the earth. Before I came here, I spent 6 years in Los Alamos, New Mexico, the town where the atomic bomb was developed. And its legacy persisted as the national laboratory there continued producing increasingly destructive weapons of war. On my vestry was the person who designed the most lethal bomb in human history that was not nuclear. My junior warden. I would say mass 500 yards from where the plutonium pits for new nuclear weapons were made. My life has been shaped by the shadow of nuclear war far beyond the end of the Cold War in the 1980s. And I don't think I've quite processed what that meant for me. It was the strangest season of my life. And that is just a taste of what so many people around the world experience day in and day out. I tasted the horror of war, but so many in the world have to dine on it and feast on it. They wake up and they're served plates of destruction and indignity. The world's always trembled with the sounds of swords clashing and screams of suffering on the battlefield. We seem addicted to this violence. And into this violent world came the prophet Isaiah, bringing a message of a messianic future, a future where everything would be restored. And not just restored and made right, but far beyond what it once was, it would be glorious, a future of beauty, of holiness, of goodness, of prosperity, a future where the human race would flourish as God himself was enthroned on a holy mountain in their midst. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah was emboldened by the Spirit of God, which called forth a fundamentally new way of relating to one another as people. No longer shall we rob and brutalize each other. No longer shall we enslave one another. No longer shall we trade exclusively in power. No longer shall our currency be violence and domination. A violent people shall beat their swords into plowshares, says the Lord. A violent people will unlearn violence. A violent people will put down the weapons of war and make them into weapons that bring forth nourishment and life. This is the vision of our God, a vision of life, of people unlearning the mode of destruction that we have all been imprisoned by. We will unlearn the ways of inhumanity, and we will relearn what it means to be human. But to be truly human, to be fully alive, that can only happen when we protect and nurture the lives of those around us. See, he prophesied this, Isaiah did. Others, too, called forth a new holy world. Some listened and continued the prophetic tradition by creating intentional communities around Israel and Palestine, communities of people trying to live differently, out of step with the horror of the world. but it didn't quite work. The world just wasn't ready for that message. It wasn't ready to be told to stop killing each other. And frankly, I don't know if we're ready for that message now. Hundreds of years after Isaiah prophesied on a cold night in Bethlehem, in a rocky cave in the middle of nowhere, a small voice pierced the night. As his mother labored and brought him forth into the world, the first priest offering the body of Christ, delivering the Messiah, the Son of God, the whole world resonated with his goodness that night, even if they didn't realize it. The world trembled as he cried, but not because of clanging swords. It trembled because that first cry of a child swallowing cold air that burnt his lungs, and he screamed in pure fright, that caused the world to tremble. The cry echoed out. Another cry for peace was born as the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, arrived to set things right. His life, his ministry, his mission, it took up Isaiah's cause, and it went further than anyone could have ever imagined. The Prince of Peace taught us how to love one another. The Prince of Peace taught us that to love God is to love our neighbor, and that if we don't love our neighbor, we cannot truly love God. Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek when someone strikes it. He showed us how to give our riches and resources freely. If somebody asks or demands it, give it away. And don't worry about what they're going to spend it on. Jesus was radically out of step with the way the world did business, but the way he did business is how we need to move through the world. He taught us to live in radical opposition to a world of death and decay and selfishness. This man changed everything. And he's still changing things, even now. But let's be honest with each other. To take one look outside or on the news is a stark, violent reminder that the advent of this new world is not finished yet. It hasn't yet been fulfilled. This vision of a world without war, a world without brutality. And look, this world might not come to pass in our lifetime, but I'm still willing to work for it. I'm still willing to work for a world of peace, even if I never get to see its fruits, because that is what we do as the people of God. We build for those who are around us and who come after us. Moses never got to see the promised land. I guess I'll be in good company too if we don't get to see this new world come to pass, but we work and we labor to make it so. We are people who live for those, not just the ones that we can see, but for those who come after us, who inherit this world. So look, while this new world of order has not yet come to pass, is not yet fulfilled, even now, we can push it forward. We can push it forward. We can help the world see that there is more going on than hatred and brutality, but only if we choose to do this. Inside every single one of you, every single person in this room has the power to turn your swords into plowshares. For some of you, that may feel quite literal. For some of you, that's metaphorical. But the call has come for us to find a way to wage peace in a world of war. Inside each of you is the power to put an end to a world order rooted in violence. Inside each of you is the power to make war cease worldwide, to stop violence in your communities. And if I did not believe that, I would not be in this place today. You have the power to change how you speak, how you live, how you move, how you spend. You have the power to do all of this, to usher in a new age. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with this call to live differently, this Advent call to live peacefully as children of love? What will you do to show the world that kindness is the new way to do business in the world, to make it clear that we will no longer play games of domination and control. So you have exactly what the world needs. You are the cure to the world's ills, because you are filled with the very Spirit of God that called forth Jesus Christ from the grave. The world needs voices like yours that will sing songs of a different kind of power. It needs you to be somebody who doesn't use their power for violence or exclusion. The world needs people like you and me to speak truth to power and to remind those who have their boots on the necks of people that it just doesn't have to be this way. It needs you to raise your voices of love and inclusion against those voices of racism and degradation and the surge of deportations across our state. The world just needs you to be faithful to the one on the cross, the one born in a manger, so you can offer that same kind of love and power. If you save one life, you save the world. So let's go out and save the world one life at a time by healing the wounds caused by profane power. Let's remind the world that nobody is an alien and that nobody is truly free until everybody is free. Let's ensure that no faces remain buried in the dirt of worthlessness, that no one goes hungry and that no one dies of thirst. Let's reduce food insecurity in Beaufort County. Let's make sure that no one suffers hypothermia on the streets of Washington this winter. Let's show the world that it is possible to cast off the shackles of empire and discover the living flowers underneath. Let's save the world by refusing to look like those desperate institutions willing to kill anyone just to cling to a little taste of power. It's time for something different out there. It's time for the kingdom of God to flood the world. And it begins with you, because the kingdom of God dwells within you. So let it out. Let it out. Be faithful to the God who has made you who you are and who has brought you to this moment, and dare to wage peace in a world of war. Amen.